Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Today, Barry Eichengreen, professor of political science at the University of California, Berkeley, talks about Asia in the global economy.
Asian markets, by and large, are smaller and less liquid than so-called Western markets, so they have room to run and they need to use it.
As economic growth in Asia continues to outperform most other regions in the world, the impacts of policy decisions made there, both for Asian countries and for the world economy, are growing as well. Economist and political scientist Barry Eichengreen believes Asia's challenge now is to strengthen its markets to bear that new responsibility. Reporter Mark Betancourt sat down with Eichengreen during the last IMF World Bank annual meetings and asked him to put Asia's booming growth into perspective.
I think the emergence of Asia and of China in particular is the most important economic event affecting the world in the last quarter century. It has lifted millions, if not billions, of people out of poverty into middle income status. Asia has a problem of distribution. It has a problem of inequality, as do other parts of the world. But Asia's story is, by and large, a story of shared growth, where the benefits of economic growth and development have been widely shared.
How have economic changes in Asia affected people outside of Asia?
All of us feel what goes on in Asia. What happens in China doesn't stay in China anymore. And indeed, the International Monetary Fund has recently done a study demonstrating how much more powerful spillovers from China to the rest of the world have become. So if you recall back to August of 2015, China changed its exchange rate modestly by about 2%, and that sent shockwaves through global financial markets, which were not ready for it. So we all should care about what happens in China financially as well as economically, and that's a reminder that the linkages between these countries, the international monetary and financial system, are very important.
So on that note, given the interconnectedness and how affected we are all around the world by the decisions that the governments in Asia make, what is the role of the international community, organizations like the IMF, in sort of being involved in what happens there?
The role of the fund is to provide information to the rest of the world, how policy initiatives elsewhere are received here is important, and having accurate information about those policy initiatives matters. The IMF can be a conduit for that information. The IMF is a counselor. It provides advice to countries that hopefully is not politically influenced, and it provides assistance. So even now that Asian countries have banded together and created a common pool of reserves, the so-called Chiang Mai Initiative multilateralization, drawing those reserves over and above a minimum of 30% of a country's allotment requires the country to first negotiate a program, a plan with the fund. So the IMF's seal of approval is still important for financial stability in the region.
What are the challenges at this point, both for Asian governments and for the international community, in dealing with the way that the economy is changing at this moment?
For countries like China, I think the challenge is to build deep and liquid financial markets that are both open to the rest of the world, but importantly, stable. A lot of attention has been paid during the run-up to the fall meetings of the fund and the bank to the fact that the Chinese currency, the renminbi, has been added to the special drawing rights basket. That means that there are now five currencies, not only the dollar, the British pound, the euro, the Japanese yen, but a fifth, the renminbi, that other countries can draw, that they can borrow through the IMF if they have liquidity needs or encounter financial difficulties. That's a small increase in the importance of China's currency. What would really make the renminbi a true international currency is if China developed those deep and liquid financial markets that made holding renminbi-denominated securities and doing cross-border business with the currency attractive, not only to residents, but to foreigners as well. The important work in building an international currency for China has to take place at home. And I think what's been done so far has been mainly external and mainly symbolic. There's lots more to do.
And at the risk of oversimplifying, what are the basic ways that, that at least you would recommend those things get done?
Well, they have to focus on making their markets more transparent, strengthening their regulations, streamlining contract enforcement so there are no questions about the security of collateral and the enforcement of contracts. They're moving in that direction. They're also trying to make their markets more liquid by increasing the diversity of investors in the market, by connecting the Hong Kong market with the Shanghai market. But again, I think the so-called Hong Kong-Shanghai Connect is largely of symbolic value. The hard work has to be done in the trenches, as it were, with strengthening contract enforcement, transparency, and so forth.
So there's still work to be done to bring Asian markets up to where a lot of sort of the North Atlantic economies are. Do you see Asia becoming looking basically like those places, or will it look fundamentally different, and we'll just have to figure out what that's supposed to look like?
Well, I think it will be fundamentally different than the advanced North Atlantic financial markets are today, because the advanced North Atlantic financial markets will change and evolve as well. Recent experiences reminded us that they're not perfect either. So we're all kind of groping in the dark to try to figure out a better way of structuring and regulating our financial markets. Asian markets, by and large, are smaller and less liquid than so-called Western markets. So they have room to run and they need to use it.
That was Barry Eichengreen, professor of economics and political science at the University of California, Berkeley. You can watch a webcast of the panel discussion entitled Asia in the Evolving International Monetary System at imf.org. You can also hear more podcasts there or on iTunes, or search for IMF Podcasts on your favorite podcast app.